You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. On Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I am Sita. I don't say my name enough.
Well, I think
I forget my name sometimes.
You think we assume that it is you.
Yes. And my lovely co-host, my trusted friend, Ellen Little, is here co-hosting with me. Everybody wants to have a friend like you, Ellen Little. You're just a wonderful friend. I'm so grateful to Michael Everett. One day he might charge me.
Yeah, he might.
For giving us this introduction.
He's doing pretty good for himself right now.
And this is a good time to give a shout out to the ABWA, American Businesswomen's Association, where you and I met.
That's right.
And you've spoken quite extensively at those meetings as well. I just renewed my membership for the national, which is cool.
Right.
And that count towards our dues here for Brevard County, Florida. I hope Laura Cheeseman is listening.
Yes. So she knows. Yeah.
But our show today is going to be so much fun.
It is.
Right? After such a hectic weekend. Yes. I can't believe you had to fly out and fly in.
Yeah.
We missed you at our party.
Yeah, it was just one of those things.
And for those of our friends who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we also have a lot of downloads on iTunes. We're online, and Ellen takes the time to post all the shows on Sita Media Inc.
Right.
And you could tell them the website to find all of that.
Yeah, Sita Media Inc. or just SitaMedia.com works both. And you'll see the pictures that we take, because we take lots of pictures when we're in the studio, the pictures that we take, as well as the downloaded podcast and a little information about the show. So you get a lot of great information, and of course we've hashtagged it to death. So you should be able to find us everywhere. As a matter of fact, you pull up Sita's name, the show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, come up first. And there's a lot of those shows that have gone pretty viral, if you will.
Yes.
With thousands and thousands of downloads plus hits on the website. So congratulations, Sita.
Well, thank you, my good friend. And so we speak about issues on our show, things of concern to people, not just in Brevard County, Florida, but around the nation and around the world sometimes. And it feels so good to have one guest today.
Yeah.
So that we have the entire show week. And I'm very calm, as you know. I don't know if my listeners know this, but was it last week? We had a big mishap. Mm-hmm. On the way here, my daughter called and said, you left the sink running.
Yes.
And the water overflowed onto the floor of the laundry room again.
Yes.
I've done that before.
You're on double secret probation now.
Yes. And so they've said, they've kind of banned me from using that sink to soak soiled laundry, right? And I thought I would have to leave the show and you would have to take over, but Kimberly saved the day.
Yes. And by the way, Scott Palmer is the reason why we're having the show today. So thank
him
you.
And Kimmy,
so,
yeah,
him and
own,
Kimmy. Yes.
They own
Cloud9 Sleep Shop. So thank you so much for sponsoring the show today with Janet.
Yeah. Pastor Paul, I bet you didn't know that I left the sink running and there was water all over the floor.
This is the first I've heard of it.
And I had to stay here and do a show. But you know what? It's called grace under pressure. You do what you have to do. And you pray to God that nobody falls and hurt themselves.
Right. And you text fast.
Yeah. And you were getting those texts from dear Kimmy.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think once you put your mind to something, though, and you can do it.
Amen.
And that's what happened. And we've been on air for almost seven. We're going on 7 years, right?
Yeah. And you've only left the faucet on once. Twice.
Yeah.
So not bad odds.
Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Janet Helfand, who I've known for over 20 years, and she looks fabulous.
I know, and what a great
story. She hasn't aged at all.
Yeah.
That's the fun part of the program.
Yes, right. And she obtained her Doctor of Philosophy in Psychology from Florida Institute of Technology. She retired from private practice as a psychologist on January 1st, 2017. She continues to hold an active psychologist license since 1984. She worked in private practice for over 30 years and provided psychological services on a part-time basis at nursing homes for 17 years up to her retirement. She's also a certified Sage In leader.
I'm so excited to learn about this. This is like one of those things that you go through. You can't go through life without knowing about saging.
I know. And the thing is, you know you who I thought about?
You can't.
So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I thought about Gary Shiffrin when I read her bio and what saging is. Because little does he know, he's actually doing Sage In.
Yes, he is.
So we're going to have to call him up and give him the information, and because Janet's going to need some people to stay engaged in the community and help her out with that.
Definitely.
But before we go to Janet, I wanted to talk a little bit. Our president is in having a meeting with the Russian president,
That's
Putin.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, I swear, Ellen, it's almost like you don't want to say anything anymore, because if you say anything positive, then some people get upset. And if you say something negative, people get upset. So I'm just saying that I just hope that our world can find peace.
Yes.
And people can find mutual respect and understanding for each other. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, people who feel strongly about politics, whether it's education, whether it's saving our environment, Planned Parenthood, which, you know, I support. Whatever it is, people need to just vote their conscience.
Yes.
We can't tell them which way to vote, but we can say...
We just want you to vote. We don't care who you vote
for. People care about nursing home.
Yeah, get out and vote. Just whatever it is that you feel that you need to get educated on, take the time now to get educated and go vote. Use that right. Because this 28%, 30% turnout rate is just insane to me.
Yeah, and it's amazing that we actually have to knock on someone's door,
right,
get them up from their comfy couch to ask them to vote. I mean, I don't mind knocking on doors, now that I'm running for office myself. I don't mind meeting people and speaking with them and hearing their concerns and issues. But this is the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. And when we have to beg people to vote, it makes me uncomfortable, because they should understand the right. So many people fought for this and died for it. And if someone were to come across and say, well, if you haven't voted in XYZ elections, you can no longer vote, then people are going to get upset, which we saw that happen recently, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, it's like if you care about your community, and like here in Brevard, we have such an issue with the Indian River Lagoon being so dirty, and people are talking about the lagoon and the dirt and the muck and the seagrass not growing, but yet still they're not voting.
I wish the people that it was proportionate, the people that were complaining was the same turnout rate as the people that voted.
Yes.
Because there's lots more people that are complaining that haven't voted.
Right.
And you and I say the same thing, even when we're out together and someone starts complaining about something, that's one of the first questions that we ask, did you vote? And they say no, and we pretty much shut them down at that point. It's like, well, you know, that was your time.
Right,
to
and if
make
you
a difference.
And
by the way, stay involved, because local politics is much more effective for you to get involved in, everybody to get involved with,
right,
rather
and
than national politics.
And look at us, you and I have full-time jobs.
Yeah, a couple of full-time jobs. A
couple of full-time jobs. We have families.
Right.
But we...
I pay an exorbitant amount for health care, just like everybody else.
Yeah, I do too. And then, but yet still, we stay engaged in a community. We have found a way to give back, right? So, you know, some people say, well, you sound so... like a socialist, you sound like a Republican, you sound like a Democrat. I am me. I wake up every day and I'm grateful that I have another day on planet Earth. And I want to give back to this great country. I have 18 brothers and sisters, 4 who have passed away. And at any given time, somebody needs something. So I have to stay, I have to work. You know, my mom and dad used to say that, look at your fingers, they're not all even. Not everyone will think the same, not everybody look the same, not everybody have the same interests and the same goals. But at the end of the day, if someone feels strongly that they can make a difference, they should run for office and they should be authentic. You cannot change who you are and use code words just to get elected to office. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. If you believe that people should work, if you believe people should...
Have a public education and be able to go to school.
Yeah. And if you believe that our public taxes should be spent on public education, not private schools, say something. Mm-hmm. If you believe in clean environment and people planning their families, you know, planning families is not only for the rich and wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. Planning families is for everyone. Live the life you can afford. And if you need help, we'll help you. But no one is saying that you're supposed to stay on a certain level in life, accepting food stamps or Section 8 or whatever forever. It's supposed to be a help, right? Give people a help. And then we get accused of giving free stuff. And I don't like that word. I don't know anyone.
I mean, the Democrats get accused of that.
Yeah. I don't think anyone actually wakes up and say, well, my 69-year-old husband is working so that he can give somebody free stuff. No, I think we're all Americans and we're in this together. And if we can help each other, we should. But we should not be taken advantage of. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of.
That's right. And we have so many right now, our demographics, that we have so many demographics that are really needy at this point. And we should be helping them. We should be figuring out a way to make things better for them.
Like somebody told
affordable
me.
Affordable housing, for instance. I mean, right now the rent for
homes.
Oh, my
God. You can't really get a safe place to live if you can't pay under 800.
Under 800 is like more like under 1200 at this point. So a family, you know, they're having, those are tough things to go through. So
I had
get involved.
I had someone say to me, well, you know, the reason why I didn't want people coming through the borders is because they're coming for free stuff. And I said, but listen, you look at foreign policy, look at their governments, hold their government accountable. Why are they fleeing? They're fleeing from gangs and violence and trafficking and
if nothing else,
economic
the country
turmoil
should pay
in their country.
Or something.
Yeah. So I mean we all agree with legal immigration, but yeah. Unfortunately it doesn't always happen that way. It takes a lot of time, energy and money to bring someone here legally. But someone actually had this argument with me. Oh, well, they're coming for our health care and they're going to be in public schools and they're going to use our roads. And I said, okay, so what's the solution?
Right.
The solution is we have to understand that globally we're all connected and find ways to reach out to those governments and see if we can help them. But then again, we see what happens in Puerto Rico, which is part of us, and we haven't reached out yet 100%.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of like...
People are saying how they... Oh, well, they don't pay taxes. Well, there's no taxation without representation. I think that was like... in third grade civics class.
Yes.
You know, they don't have any representatives. They don't get taxed. It's not their fault.
But I think, you know, all of us, at some point in our life, we have to stand for something.
Right.
And the something that we have to stand for is to make sure that at the end of the day, everybody wants security. Everybody wants a home that they can live in and be safe. They want to have a public school and fix our communities. And make sure that every child has the opportunity to be the best they can be, whether it's in trade or academics or vocational school or even being an apprentice like the old days, mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
So I really don't know anyone that don't want those things for their family. I would say it's faith, family, food, and finances. Mm-hmm. And someone said, well, you shouldn't say faith. Why not? If you're a person that have strongly believed in faith and it sustained you and feed you and helped you. I was an 18-year-old girl when I came to the United States, and if I didn't have faith, I would have literally died. I was scared when I got here, and I knew how to pray and, you know, ask God to help me and guide me, and he did, and that's just how it is. You know, I get a lot of messages that, oh, you should not be speaking about faith. And then I'm like, well, I can't not.
We're not telling you what faith to have.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of faith. So you got a lot of, just like politics, you have a lot of choices. Just find it. Find it for yourself.
Yes.
Right? And that's what we've always said on the show for the last 7 years, which is why I'm so grateful and honored to be part of this with you, Sita, is that you get a voice and we get to talk about these things that, you know, just make, it's a simple remedy. Just get involved. Whatever way that you can get involved. Everybody has a half an hour that they can get involved or read or get educated on what it is that's important to them.
And there's always that one person that stands out in your mind, right? And mine was always Miss Florence Newman.
I remember you talking.
That held me by my hand when I came to the United States. A Jewish lady who was good friends with Tom Brokaw. I didn't even know who Tom Brokaw was. And she said, do you know, I'm friend. And I said, oh my goodness. She said, he's on television. He's a anchor for CBS News. And she taught me about life and how to read and how to make sure I have a good life insurance and encouraged me to go back to school to become a nurse. And I'm grateful to her because I listened and I learned. I know she truly loved me. So, you know, that's one of the things I think about. But, you know, today I was thinking about her when Dr. Helfand
think about what you did for her.
She died in my arms. Yeah.
I know, as an older lady, that you gave her probably inspiration that she wouldn't have normally had at that time in her life.
Right.
You know,
she died in the ICU at Memorial Hospital, literally in my arms. And I was the last person there. And I thought about her. And when I thought about Janet, Dr. Helfand coming on the show this morning, I thought about loneliness versus solitude. And she had both. She was not married. She didn't have any children. She had loving sisters. Her sisters, Anne and Rose Schwartz, always came by to visit, and Artie. And I thought about that, and I thought this show today, I wanted to dedicate it to my good friend Florence Newman, because everything I read about Sagen is about Florence. So welcome to our show, Dr. Helfand. So tell Ellen and I a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk a little bit about all the great things you're doing and you have done in your life.
Yes. Oh, so I guess a little about myself, if you want to talk about what's going on now and as always has been, is that I guess I focus on making a difference in the world. So I went from being, when I was very young, I used to play go to the head of the class. I really get that I'm a teacher, no matter what I do. So I started out as a math teacher, and as a psychologist mainly, I think I taught people. And now with the Saging, this is my passion about helping older people, because of being in the nursing home so long, I saw that people had difficulty letting go at the end, and I think you have that difficulty when you don't have peace and when you don't know your life made a difference. And I think I decided I wanted to start helping people in this aging process much earlier, so that when they come to the end, they really get their life, they served a purpose. It's just easier to let go.
So to put value on life until the end. And I read an article last night, and they were talking about people who actually live together as husband and wife, but they're actually apart, you know. And they talked about loneliness, and they talked about the solitude. And I thought, well, we do have a lot of that in our Asian communities as well, the loneliness. So what you're doing with Sei Jin is actually you're giving people an option not to be lonely, to get involved.
Well, I think... connection is so important. So next to the last, where people learn forever, and we don't get that. We think, you know, when they reach a certain age in life, it's over. You know, they're just here to die, and that's not true. So in the last of the developmental stages, so next to the last, now there's even stages over 90. It's learning how to have control over what we have control over, and allowing people to have control, because we have a tendency, especially in nursing homes, to take over. And I think even in going over the developmental stages, we learn that allowing people to have control allows them to get to what they really need to get to, which is reflection, spiritual growth. That's why we weren't made to be doing and going all the time. There comes a time when we have to sit back and reflect on our lives, and we're not going to do that if we're still fighting control. So there's so many ideas that I have about nursing homes. Nobody ever wants to go. I'd love to, you know, I have an ideal nursing home where everybody would want to be there, and I think Saging would be part of it, but you have to start earlier and get towards that.
Well, it's almost like you have to change a culture then of thinking, because you're absolutely correct. A lot of people feel once your hair gets gray and wrinkles start coming, well, then your time for learning has stopped. And how do we change that? What is that shift that we need?
Well, when we do Saging, actually, we do exercises and classes where people begin the process of taking a look at different things, like conscious aging, life review, forgiveness, facing your mortality, and then finding out what your legacy is. So when you do that, and I've done it, I've not only with the people you do it with, but I've made presentations like to the Psychological Association. Some of the people have said, I want those exercises. I want to take them back. I'm about to go to a family get-together, intergenerational. I want all of us to do this. So we do, you know, so they're just...
It's things. Beautiful,
so,
isn't it?
So is Saging an acronym for something? Or is it, where did that name come from?
It came from Saging is a wise person. Right. So instead it's, and Rabbi...
Oh, sage, like the old Indian sage.
And Rabbi Shakti Shalomi wrote a book from aging, he now shifted it to Saging. So it isn't getting old, it's becoming an elder. And when you're an elder, you're a wise person, you're a sage, and people come to you and learn, and you're never You never stop learning.
So they look
you
up to you.
Forward.
So it's almost like the Buddhist enlightenment, right? I mean, it's
all have something that we compare it to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all whatever you want it to be.
Yes.
But
well, how beautiful. I know. So what do you do in your classes?
What we do is I actually do exercises, and then we share the wisdom or harvest the wisdom. So sometimes we'll do journaling. Sometimes it'll be we share with another person, and then we all get together. For instance, if you like, what some of the exercises in conscious aging will say, what is it that you're concerned about most about aging? And people will start to make some comments. And then we can all express together that we all do have those concerns and fears. And then the next question might be, what are you excited about aging? And like, I'm discovering now that I didn't even realize before, I don't have a certain schedule that I used to have. I don't have to get up if I don't want to. It's now a choice. I choose to get up early to go to my yoga class, but it's my choice. It wasn't a have to. But we wouldn't have even thought about that or things like that if we didn't start
wait,
discussing
actually.
Things like that.
Yeah, you know,
so,
I can't wait.
I know. Right, so you get excited.
Because you and I are always on the go. And, you know, the days that I'm off, like full off for the 24 hours, it is nice to wake up and go to the gym at your leisure, have lunch with a friend, you know, whatever. Just relax. Yeah. It does feel good. And
you don't think about that as the benefits of aging, though. You know,
you just think about it as a free day.
But I also want to say I'm not one of those that just relaxes and sits around and has lunch. That's not my thing. My thing is still,
but you still
be
have the
as
option.
Active
but you have the
as
option.
I can. And if one day something occurs and I can't do it, you learn as you age to accept that and not make yourself
sounds
wrong
like the serenity prayer. You know
it.
What? Right. It sounds like the serenity prayer. My dad used to recite that prayer a lot. And that is, I think sometimes, that's so comforting. It's like growing old, living in the time that you're living in, everything in one. You're accepting things. You have the courage. You're growing older. And then what now, you know? So he did. So what do you think is missing for residents in nursing homes and the aging population in general?
Okay, so I didn't want to forget some of the things. For example, stimulation, opportunities for growth, and it's really like a spiritual growth, because as we come to the end of the line, it's more a spiritual thing. It's not working harder. It's because it's like you've done what you've done, you made what you made, you can't work longer hours. The only way you could, you know, like for me, would have been work harder, longer. I couldn't do that. So now it's like, all right, what is my real purpose? So I think it's more of a spiritual growth, learning, reflection, time of reflection. And also remaining as active as you can. Your mind, if your body can't be as active, all of these things to think about, writing life stories, things that need to be presented, for example, in nursing homes. I won't knock bingo. I can tell you that people would rather do bingo when I was there than talk to me. So I get that.
They need that 25 you know, cents per card.
That, however, that's, and that keeps the mind stimulated, but it isn't a reflective exercise. And saging is more of a reflection and going deeper. Because Eckhart Tolle talked about how life isn't about, I mean, I don't want to quote him incorrectly. It's you don't find peace by arranging your circumstances, but by finding out who you are at the deepest level.
Wow. So we're talking with Dr. Janet Helfand, and we're talking about something called Sage In, which is actually wisdom, guidance, experience of our elders, right? And there is a website that people can look up while we're going to break. So that website is, you don't know it offhand, do you?
But yeah, I guess it's saginginternational.org, or it could be sage, S-A-G-E hyphen I-N-G. It's either saging.org or saginginternational.org.
Okay, so we're going to take
and we'll
a
make
quick
sure that
break,
we post
and
that.
Then we'll come back. Yes.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Our sit-down guest today with Ellen and I is Dr. Janet Helfand, and she is a doctor of philosophy and psychology who obtained her degree from Florida International Florida Institute of Technology. That's right, yes. Here, our FIT. So, Ellen, we're just so amazed at what this saging is. And I'm looking at something that I printed this morning, and it says sage in S-A-G-I-N-G is a new way of aging. Saging is looking at life in a new way as we grow older, a spiritual practice that involves harvesting the wisdom of our lives, transmitting that wisdom as a legacy to future generations, and giving back through saging. And of course, there's so many things. Their mission, Sagen International, is committed to transforming aging. And through community service and building, they teach you how to bring out your inner self, right? And it's about confidence, too, from what I'm understanding. It's about confidence born from harvest and life experience with a humility that sees service as a natural result of continued inner growth. So, Dr. Helfand, tell us a little bit more about Sage. How did you get involved with it? How did you find out? Because this is like a hidden secret.
Yeah,
I'm just totally amazed.
I don't know how originally, I think it was 2006, the end of 2000, and I can't believe it was that long ago. I went to a workshop. I saw something that sounded like I was interested in it in Orlando, and it was a saging workshop, and I didn't even know what it was. And after I did it, she said, how many people are interested in, you know, going further in this? And my hand just shot up, and the next thing I knew, I was in an internship program to become a saging leader, a certified saging leader, and I spent a year in an internship program, and I was given a bunch of stuff and said, okay, go do some, you know,
saging.
Go do some saging. And as a psychologist, and, you know, people come to me, and I love to be in control, there was a little bit of a difficulty with that because I had to follow a script, and I'd never done it before. It was
so the teacher had to
easy.
Become a student.
Yes, it was not, and I had to hear reviews about me. But I think now I'm more in the groove, in that I think I know what's important, and I know some of the exercises that make a difference, and I help people reframe the way they see things. I've added exercises of my own, so it's an individual thing that you do. But you have to have some experience before you can find your individuality.
And one of the things that Sagen does, you harvest the wisdom learned through life's triumphs and challenges.
Right.
You also find solace in forgiving others, which we talk about forgiveness a lot.
Yeah.
You make peace with death, taking a spiritual and practical step. So talk a little bit about that, because we do have working in nursing homes myself, and that's where you and I met 20 years ago.
That's right.
You were there seeing our patients. That is something that people have a very difficult time with, making peace.
So I think people have difficulty with this because they don't know that their life had meaning. They haven't really searched, and that's something spiritual, and I don't think we address that enough. And so in saging, when we deal with that, there are questions. What lights you up? What's the... you know, to find out what your meaning is, life stories. We do this with people so that I think it's easier to find peace in the end because you're more spiritual. I think I once read that we're spiritual beings here on earth to have a human experience, and we're getting closer at the end of life to become our spiritual self again. And that's not going to happen if you don't know your life served some purpose. And I think saging, that's why I'm so committed to this. Saging can help you begin to that journey of knowing that your life had meaning. And I think I don't know if hospice does that, but I have sat in front of people and told them what their life means to people. If no one's ever done that, it's so much easier to let go when you know you had a purpose while you were here.
Right. And it's almost like you create a legacy through service, mentoring, and activism. Sagen creates this.
It gives you the opportunity for it. And so anyone, because at the end, after you do the, you know, your meaning and purpose, people then want to do something about it. And that's the hope, is that you'll go out and mentor others just by who you're being, so people will no longer see you as just an old person.
Oh, I feel like we really need to have her back on the show another time. This is so interesting, because people really have, sometimes I feel we have forgotten the elderly.
Well, and we don't have lack of compassion. We don't value the experience that they've had. And believe me, if I'm ever having a bad day, the best thing that I ever do, and we do it 3 or 4 times a month now, is a group of us go out and we play our guitars and go and just talk at an assisted living facility or a nursing home. And it's fantastic, because afterward they come up and tell us where they heard that song last, and, you know, just all kinds of really cool things about their lives. And you could just see them light up as well. So I don't know that it's necessarily part of the saging process, but certainly it feels that way.
Well,
after
you wake something up inside of them.
Inside of them as well as inside of me.
Yeah.
So
you know?
I just Can I say something about
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, yeah,
sure. Yeah. So the simple reminiscences are wonderful. When people remember things, and I did that with a lot of people. I would tell jokes. Remember when we'd go into the candy store and we had something called dots, and you pick, and we'd all remember that, and we'd laugh and all that. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is a way of connecting. In staging, we do transmissive reminiscences.
So
where you
mean?
Ask questions like, such as, who is the person who taught you the most? What is it about that person? You know, what is, how are you like them? How are you not like them? How would you want to be? You know, what's missing for you? What can you do today or from now forward that you could actually take a step towards becoming that person? So there's,
There's room for growth.
And you're asking lots of other questions, but people begin to go in and say, what is it? Who is, you know, who is the person who taught you the most? What did you admire about that person? Do you have those qualities? What qualities would you like to have or work on? What's one thing you could do towards going, moving forward in that? And then the person has an opportunity to move.
And always our moms, right? But one of the interesting things, Ellen, that I read about saging, the recommendation from Sage Inn, and now when I say sage, I'm thinking about an old white Indian guy under a tree, right? we actually have them in the Hindu texts. The recommendation from Sage Inn International Service Committee in partnership with Conscious Elders Network, I didn't even know that existed. It's called CEN. Has been endorsed by the Sagen International Coordinating Circle, which is their board, that they stand in solidarity with the surviving students of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, their families and people of goodwill across the country who are demanding an end to legislative paralysis that prevents common sense gun control from being enacted in this country. They actually get involved in the communities and they're staying engaged with things that they believe in. And they're doing this because this is what they believe in. So I find it's amazing. I don't know why we didn't know about this before.
I don't either.
And so we all know when death comes, there's so many things that people lay in those beds, and especially the ones who are on hospice and know that it's imminent, right? So what are they thinking of, you think, at that point, if they have not lived a fulfilled life, if their life did not have purpose?
If they didn't connect with that, I think everybody's life has purpose.
Right.
They're not aware of it, I think there's fear. Unless they hold on to something. Because, I mean, I know someone who told me that her husband was faith. You mentioned something about faith. And he said, I'm ready. I know where I'm going. But that's where he knew his purpose was, you know, he was a good man and good, whatever it was, he knew
he was comfortable with letting go.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people, I think, have fears, so I think there's a lot of fear. There's depression. I think those things are probably going on, and it's so much easier, I think, to let go when somebody says, this is, you know, you served your purpose. This is what I will remember you by. I will keep you in my heart. And we don't have those kinds of discussions with people.
I know. And so many people are depressed at that. So when you ask some of those questions, are there a lot of times that they say, I don't know, I don't remember, or I don't, and not because of aging, but just because of the depression that they, you know, they just don't have a tough time.
There's probably something in the way, because there was somebody there that I loved, and she was in the school system a long time ago and helped me and was a mentor to me, and she was so depressed, and her thing was, I'm a burden.
Right.
And you know, people want to get them engaged in activities, but it wasn't activities. It was discussions, you know, and when I said, I remember how you helped me, there was a little bit of a smile.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't get to everyone.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's also.
Right. Yeah.
But that's why I've started saying, I want to do it with younger people so that the conversation gets larger and larger, because if you only first started in nursing homes, it's really hard.
Yeah, and I imagine like the folks that were Vietnam vets and war veterans and those, and that's the aging population that we have right now. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of them were in wartime moments, and I wonder about the PTSD and those again exploring those deep, you know, going a little bit deeper than just activities or going a little bit deeper. I'm sure that's tough for them.
Yeah, you find out so much. So we want to tell our listeners, well, we're speaking with Dr. Janet Helfand, and she is a psychologist, and we're learning so much about saging. So I want to ask you, so do you feel as though there's a difference between men and women when it comes to the end of life? Because people worry about things. People start planning, well, when did my grandparents die? When did my parents die? They try to calculate when they're going to go and what their lifespan would be based on their health, education, fiscal resources, etc. But is there a difference between men and women when they think about the end of life?
Well, you said this was going to be a fun thing. I think there's always a difference between men and women. So,
Martin's going a little further.
You know, it might be more personality styles. You know, the people who are like in control would have a hard time letting go. I think people who have been in the service, as you were mentioning, whether it be male or female, I think they may have difficulty with their vulnerability. That's why I think when you work in a group together and people share, you're willing to open up more. And so I think working in a group makes a huge difference, because even if you don't say anything, you may hear something from somebody else that makes a huge difference.
You almost feel that when somebody else is sharing and you connect with it, you almost feel that, you know,
you're not the only one.
That you're not the only one.
So Dr. Helfand, what benefits do people get out of taking sage in classes or reflecting on their own lives? How does that benefit others?
Well, that's what
Ellen was saying.
Because you mentioned something. So knowing what my purpose is, since I took the saging classes, knowing what my purpose is, I could be sitting back, what's the expression, in the sun,
eating
by
bonbons.
The pool. But I was going to say julep drink.
There you go.
And it's like, that's not who I am, because part of this means that I'm always going to be someone who wants to learn and grow spiritually and go to another level, so that who I am helps other people grow, because I won't stop helping them grow. I'm making available to them.
She said she quit working at 75.
Mm-hmm. God love you.
God love her, right? Yeah. So do you see, when you do these saging classes or when you sit with other people talking about it, do you see the difference with the traditions and cultures of all of people? Because the Asian culture is different, the American culture is different, different subgroups. Everyone is different. What do you walk away with?
I think when people actually, I don't know if it's the different culture. Like when people are interested in saging and they come to saging, I think we look at commonalities. We don't look at differences among people. We all walk away loving each other. It doesn't matter. So I don't know what to say about that. I've never found any one culture or one this that's all one way kind of thing.
Because with the Asian cultures, you know, when you're born into an Asian family, Indian family, they're focused on, you know, growing up, getting a job, having responsibilities of a family, going to the temple, giving back to the community. You have other cultures where it's like a survival mode. People, they don't have that much wealth in their family, so they have to help each other, how to survive. And so all these things people bring to the table with the younger ones. Well, this is what I did to survive. This is what I did to have purpose with my life. And I find sometimes with different cultures, it's different.
Well, our culture is one where we reward people for youth and not for not aging, and we don't look
at it
for wisdom.
Yes. Right.
So that's why we're trying to grow this.
Right. And so how would we get more young people involved?
Your dream is to get young. So what's young, first of all? How young are you looking at for people to get into saging? Do you think it's
beneficial?
Well,
actually, saging is for people 50 and above.
Okay.
Because the brain doesn't even develop fully till 22.
Okay, well, that explains a lot.
So... so there are some, I've taken something called the Wisdom Course in one of another program that I've done, and you have to be at least 22 to get it.
Okay. Okay.
And I think what I'm learning, my wisdom, what I'm learning as I age, is sometimes no matter what you present, you don't get it till you're there.
Right.
I thought I, every generation, I kept thinking, oh, well, now I get it. I'm smart.
Right.
And then I thought the next, then 10 years later, man, I didn't understand any of that. Right. And then, so I'm still at that stage.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm still at that stage. I think I know such and such. And then I go, man, I didn't understand.
Right.
So the legacy is we want to leave something for future generations, right? And she reminds me of my mom when she would say things like, you can't, don't put your hat where you can't reach it. That had a big meaning to it.
Yeah.
Or she would say, those who don't listen will feel. And I didn't understand fully what that actually meant till I hit my 50s when I felt something. But it's the truth. But, you know, those cultures, whereas my mother and father didn't have a college education to teach us from texts, from books, they had the wisdom and the guidance to tell us. And although they were poor people, they would say, make do with what you have or live the life you can afford. And nowadays, you see the rat race we live in and people trying to keep up with the Jonas's and the credit cards and, the houses and whatever. And you're like, well, boy, that's what they meant when they said live the life you can afford. Because they were trying to teach us from experience what they had done wrong.
And just to add to that, some of the things that are being said we need to evaluate because maybe it was true for them and is not necessarily true for us.
Right.
So, because that's, I think that's important. Someone who says, well, you can't trust anybody because something happened to them in
right.
their life.
And right.
they pass
right.
that on
that's
to their
true.
Kids. So I'm just adding to that. I
so I want to go back to the question that I had. What, 50? Is the magic what people
Not,
should
you know,
get into saging? Or?
Well, it's supposed to be for people in the second half of life.
Okay.
However, there have been some workshops where a 28-year-old was there because she said she was close to her grandmother and wanted to understand her grandmother better.
Okay.
There are some people who are younger than that. So it's really whoever, you know, is interested. I had a woman and her daughter do it, and her daughter was maybe in her 30s. And she said her daughter said she got nothing out of it. And she said, but after we did whatever we did that particular day, she said, it was the best day I ever had with her that afternoon. But she didn't, her daughter didn't quite get what she was getting out of
right,
it,
right.
but the mother did.
Right.
So I'm just saying sometimes it'll take a while before we realize.
So where can somebody experience saging? And where are the classes that you give usually? Or
well, I have given some at the Cocoa Beach Library.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I'm the only certified saging leader in this area. They're in October, I think it's in Minnesota.
Oh, geez.
There will be a saging an international conference, mm-hmm. and I would like to go to that. And I always take different classes and then incorporate. I'm not the type who does the same thing over and over. I'll see something new and I'll add
Jeez.
It.
So
and
you
I'll
do
add
the some. Classes primarily at Cocoa Library? Or
the
you
Cocoa
do
Beach? What happens is I do like... Three two-hour ones because I find that at least 6 hours.
And how are you reaching people to attend? What is it well attended?
Not as far as I'm concerned because I would like it spread.
You
want
to fill the room.
If I have 10 people, I'm happy because 10 people can really relate and talk. When 4 people come, it's a lot of energy.
You know what
there.
What I'm thinking of? You know, my wheels are spinning in my head. We should do a luncheon and invite her to come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be nice to have you at my home, and I invite some friends to come with their daughters or bring a younger person because I think the older generation loves when the younger ones are with them because that's how you pass it on. Because
right.
I learned a lot from my friend Bonnie Katz, and she's in her 70s, and I'm in my 50s. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from my nursing home residents. Sometimes I'll have a resident that parks her wheelchair right next to my cart, which happens a lot. And we chat through the MedPass. We chat about her children growing up in up north. She came from Italy. She tells me about Italy, about the village. When she came to the United States, she was 7. She talks about immigration. And I learned so much from this little lady. And so I'm just thinking we need to do more to get more young people involved with older people so that they could get that vast knowledge and wisdom from them. So you tell us how Ellen and I can help you to spread the word about saging here in Brevard County, Florida.
And how busy do you want to be? Did we discuss that?
Can we do a lunch?
That's definite. I have my yoga group with my instructor, Barbara, in case she's listening.
Oh, nice.
And and I play pickleball. And I do that a few days, and I swim laps, and so I do this.
Yeah.
This is my passion.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So it seems.
So do we get the schedule from the Cocoa Beach Library?
I actually, because I just moved recently, the last 6 months I've been on hold.
Okay.
So I don't fantastic. Have anything because I've been...
So if we start flooding the Cocoa Beach Library with requests, do you think they'll call you?
I have no idea, but you could try. We could find
well,
out.
I think, you know, the way to do it is with food.
Yeah, there you
honestly,
go.
Honestly, because I...
Food rules, always.
We can do something at the Suntree Country Club. I can ask my daughter if we can use her membership, which she's always sweet. And because the thing is, this is something that I am interested in as well, because I have seen the value of experience from my grandmother, who was a midwife, mm-hmm. back in the village, would just learn how to deliver babies, right? But we watched her. We learned so much from her. And I always enjoy sitting with people and listening to their stories. The stories have a lot of meaning, and they teach you how to live, how to be a human being, how to pass on
and
things.
And I think it's important that you hear the story and then give it back to them in a way they will realize that was their legacy.
That's right. So for our listeners, we're speaking with Dr. Janet Helfand, who obtained her Doctor of Philosophy in Psychology from Florida Institute of Technology. And Ellen and I are very, very interested in what we're speaking about today. It's called
Sage
Inc.
I know, I want to ask, we only have like 8 minutes left, yeah. but I want to ask a million more questions.
It's like we always knew this, right? Because we've had so many people on our show from Buena Vida Estates. We talked about senior living communities. We talked about the options that they had at the senior living facilities, how to make people's lives so purposeful until the end. But no one has actually put it together so nicely as Saging has. Yeah. And for our friends who are tuning in, I'll just tell you really quick what Saging is: a new way of aging. It's looking at life in a new way as we grow older, a spiritual practice that involves harvesting the wisdom of our lives, transmitting that wisdom as a legacy to future generations, and giving back. So is here in Brevard County, Florida, do you have a website set up as that so that people can find you? Or how would people find you if they say, well, you know what, maybe I can invite her to a gathering that I'm having at my home? Or do you want to start such a thing? Because Ellen is good at making websites.
Oh, yeah, would love your help. This is the fun part.
Okay.
Yes,
good.
I could. Yes.
I'd be happy to.
Yes.
Okay. I have, all I have is an address, an email address, seniorwisdom.
Okay.
Seniorwisdom.com.
Okay. That's your domain name.
At Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah,
so seniorwisdom@gmail.com. Right.
So we're going to have to do a little luncheon and have her on. But Ellen, you know what? As she was speaking, I was thinking about your dad. He mm-hmm. instilled a lot of wisdom in you as well. He was a
Absolutely.
Military man. And I remember when he passed on hospice.
Yeah.
And you and your family were there.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your dad.
Well, he was in World War II. He was in Patton's Second Army, and he and his three brothers were all in World War II together at the same time. So I could only imagine my grandmother having four boys in the war all at the same time. I can't even imagine.
No.
However, when my dad had three brothers and a sister. My sister Sally, my Aunt Sally passed away at 103 years old and had every letter that all the boys wrote her, and we found them all. So it was the coolest. I mean, although I did hear a lot of the stories because I kind of got it out of them every time I would go visit and we would go talk, I would say, tell me another story. And he'd get excited. I could just see him getting excited. And we would go drive around. We would just take a car ride and go drive around. And he just loved it. But he loved telling me the stories. And then even later, hours later, he would say, I forgot to tell you this one part. This one part was so cool. And this one part was so cool. And he was 91 when he passed away. And just full of life, and there's a lot of us. We have a lot of kids, not as many as Sita did, but
it's nice to have the stories to share now.
Yeah, and the connection with his brothers too, which we didn't see necessarily in life, but we saw it through the letters,
right.
Like how they would comment about each other and how I saw Marty or I saw Gene. So it was kind of cool where, you know, later on I had one perception of their relationship. And then he told me an entirely different perception of his perception of their relationship.
That's almost like Saging, because with Saging, it says that the people who appreciate Saging are focused on making life as rich, positive, and meaningful as possible.
But
what you're doing.
Yes.
And one of the biggest things that came out of this is I have 43 cousins, and we all became close.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're having cousin reunions now and being able to talk about them.
Because of the
stories.
And his legacy.
Yes.
His legacy.
Legacy.
Being close.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. Like I get chill bumps.
Right.
You know.
I know. I could tell. That's what I'm thinking as we're sitting here. So expressing gratitude doesn't require a partner. Being grateful for life, this life that we've been given, it just requires an open heart and a realization that life is a special gift. And you talked a little bit about forgiveness. So tell us a little bit. That's one of the things that saging encourages is forgiveness. So talk a little bit about that.
So one of the things that I focus on is reframing, looking at what's happened in the past in a different way, so that you can let go of the story you have around the what happened in life, and so you can move on. And it's hard to move on when you're holding a lot of, you know, you get angry, depressed, all of that. When you're holding on to the past, it helps you let go of the past, and we go through different ways to reframe, see things differently, and wind up seeing it as something as a blessing rather than, let's say, a curse, a blessing,
right.
Because it helped you grow in some way, that whatever it was, that
that conflict,
whatever it was, right?
Yeah, that conflict.
So we should all take away today that we should take the time to express gratitude for what we have been given and for our good fortune to be alive and healthy. Because how many people are not healthy? You know, and they don't understand that when you wake up every day, that sometimes health is better than wealth.
Sometimes I absolutely.
They remember the Dalai Lama and that thing we read about a couple
That's
of
right.
times
yeah.
about man spends all his time making wealth and then he has to spend all his money on his health, right?
That's right.
So this was such an enlightening show. I feel like we've been sitting here like on the spiritual journey and
yeah.
I could see it playing out in front of us and I love it. I would love to have you back
and
on the show.
What's the
as
email
well.
Again?
SeniorWisdom@gmail.com.
SeniorWisdom@gmail.com. So we'll make sure that we post that so that anyone who wants to get in touch with Dr. Janet Helfand will be able to be able to do that as well. And we'll be looking for Cocoa Beach Library events.
Well, the library one wasn't attended as well, so I think we need to go to the country club and do a luncheon.
Well, that'll be
and
a
we'll
huge,
invite
that'll
our
be
friends.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You tell us what day is good for you and if you're going to be in Brevard, if you're going on vacation or anything, and we'll try to help you to get that out because we want to do more to help people to understand their purpose on life.
That's right.
In life.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
So if you have any words of wisdom, we have 30 seconds before we leave.
So just know that your life has meaning, and I'm here to help you make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank the Cloud9 Sleep Shop once again, Scott Palmer and Kim Durgin, for their sponsorship of today's show, and for Dr. Janet Helfand for joining us today. And, of course, you, Sita, for always getting the fantastic guests that you get every week, and also Pastor Paul for running our board for us, and 1510 WWBC right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We'll be back on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends every Monday at 1 p.m., so tune in.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
We bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. We bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. You are